you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll be reading verses 9 through 17, As we look at this message today, we continue with that look of it being a new day. On Wednesday night, I related to you the vision Nehemiah received. At great length, we reviewed the definition of the word vision. We looked at the process in Nehemiah's life of taking that vision and doing something with it. And we saw the preparation that was being made as he sought God for permission to leave, or as he sought God and as he sought the king to leave from his position and to go and to do what God had put on his heart and his life to do. And we noticed the provision that God gave through the king to him to go. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I love the way the New American Standard does that. I also like the way the Holman Christian Standard Bible changes that by saying that the people are without restraint. The people run wild. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It's a new day. It's a new day, and it is a new day, it's a reflection of our present, but it's also a reflection of our future here and the future of our lives. You see, I'm seeing that new day in my own life. I'm seeing that new day in your life. I'm seeing that God is doing a new thing, a different thing in our lives as he brings us closer to him as we experience him. And I pray that you're experiencing that new day in your own life. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 19, we find these words. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the toll booth. He said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. While he was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came to eat with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Now when he, Jesus, heard this, he said, "It is not those who are well, who need a doctor, but those who are sick." Then he goes on, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Verse 14 says, "Then John's disciples came to him, saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' Jesus said to them, 'Can the wedding guests be sad while the groom is with them? The time will come when the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old garment with unshrunk cloth, because the patch pulls away from the garment and makes the tear worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the skins burst. The wine spills out, the skins are ruined. No, they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word today. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have to share in what it has to say to our lives. Father, I pray that you would speak in these next few moments. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross of Calvary. Speak, Lord, to your people and share with them, Lord, what they need for their lives. Lord, you're sharing with me, and Lord, I know you'll share with them. So, Lord, help us to see you high and lifted up. Help us to get a view of heaven today. And may we see you speaking to our hearts, to our lives. And may we change. May we be challenged. And we'll give you thanks. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I enjoy newness, don't you? I enjoy the bloom of a flower. I love that. Taking a walk the other night, I came by the old bowl warehouse, and I noticed the magnolias. And they were beautiful. I had to take a picture of them. They're gorgeous. That newness. I like the rising of the sun. Now, you know I'm not a morning person. You know that. You can be right there. That's a good place to be. Hong Kong. There you go. Thank you. I don't like mornings. I'm not a morning person. I'm a night person. But I like to get up, if I can, and see the new day, the rising of the sun. Because there's nothing more fresh than that. Except the fresh smell of grass after it's been cut. Or the freshness after a rain. Those are beautiful things. Because you see, all of these reflect hope for me. They reflect hope for us. There are few things more hopeful, though, than in the Bible, than what it means to be new. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The steadfast love of God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Those scriptures give us hope, do they not? They give us something to cling to. God is creating something new. He's making something new. His faithfulness is new every morning. Listen, the world repackages. The world reworks. The world remakes. We go to the car lot and we buy a gently used vehicle. It's not new. It's new to me, but it's not new. It may still have the new smell. They say that they can take a computer and they can recondition it and rework it and try to remake it, but it's still not new. It's still old. The Bible, though, offers a newness that changes a person from the inside out. It's a newness that is a transformation and a total remaking of the life. God does that in a beautiful way because Jesus brings a new kind of new. Jesus brings a new kind of new. Our text highlights the subject of newness. It does so in two ways. First of all, it gives us new people. It shows us that His ministry is to new people because Jesus meets Matthew. Now, Matthew is a tax collector. That's the first strike against him. He's a tax collector. The second thing is that he's a wealthy man. That's another strike that's against him. And then the third thing, well, that adds to the first two, he's a hated man. He's a hated man. Because you see, he works for the government that is holding the Jewish people, the Romans. And so he's collecting the taxes, and as he collects the taxes, he gets to charge for the collection of the taxes. So he gets to keep whatever Rome doesn't require. That's profit to him. And normally the tax collector would do extreme carrying charges, if you will, to collect the taxes. And so he was very hated. He was not a man that folks enjoyed being around. And so it seems strange that Jesus Christ would recruit him because Matthew's occupation was filled with corruption. It was filled with extortion. It was filled with greed. It was filled with disdain. But Jesus calls him. Notice how Matthew reacts. It's a remarkable reaction. Jesus says, "Follow me." And the scripture says that he did so. He got up from his table. He walked away from his money. And he followed Jesus. The scripture says in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, leaving everything, he rose and followed Jesus. Now you think that is strangely remarkable. I want you to look at verse 10. Jesus has called Matthew. Matthew's a hated man. He's a tax collector. He's a wealthy man. And now Jesus went to dinner where there were many tax collectors and many sinners. Remember, we're talking about new people, right? The newness. Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples, and a great feast was spread, and they shared the meal, and the scripture says that they reclined at the table. Jesus was with notoriously sinful people. They were hanging out together. They were spending time together. And of course, someone has to come to complain. A Pharisee. Someone had to come and complain. And so the Pharisee, he's indignant that Jesus, this guy who came along and started telling them that he was the Son of God, that he was the special gift of God, and now they're indignant and they ask, why would Jesus come and eat with sinners? Why would Jesus come and eat with tax collectors? So they ask why. Jesus responds, and his response is a loaded response. It's loaded, first of all, with rebuke of the spiritual isolation of the religious people, and it's also loaded with mercy for the spiritually devastated. The scripture says, those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. He says, go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. You see, Jesus' ministry, the gospel, the good news, targets people who need hope. Jesus is a Savior. And Jesus is a Savior who came to save people from their sins. And therefore it makes sense that the people who He went to, and the ones that He was most interested in, were people who needed Him the most. Jesus comes to bring newness, my friends. He comes to bring newness to people who know that they need something new. They need a doctor. They need a physician. Write it down. It is more dangerous. You can write this down later on. It is more dangerous to think that you don't need to be new when you do than to need newness and know it. It is more dangerous to think that you don't need to be new when you do than to need newness and know it. Friend, this world is crazy right now. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Jesus came for this world. Where it is right now, Jesus came for this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He is doing that even today. He calls people. And the people are different. Honestly, Matthew is only doing what anyone who has been impacted by Jesus would do. He invited him to eat with him. He invited him to come into his house. And he invited all of his friends. And who were his friends? They weren't good folks. They weren't righteous folks. They were sinners just like him. And so he invited them. And he invited Jesus and the disciples. And they all joined together. And they all ate together. Because you see, the gospel is for messy people who need a miracle. Matthew and the others knew this. Paul knew this. Paul was the messiest of all. He even said, I'm the chief of all sinners. Messy people needing a miracle. And Jesus gave them a miracle. He calls a different kind of people. And in this new day, I see God doing that. Secondly, I see a new kind of ministry. You see, Jesus brings about a new kind of ministry. Jesus brings a new kind of new. So when you look at verse 14, you see that it introduces the questions from the disciples. Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? John's disciples and Jesus' disciples were not on the same page when it comes to spiritual disciplines. Fasting was required 2 times a week, and it was required to be a good Jew. And so Jesus uses the analogy. He uses the analogy of the wedding. He says, why would the people mourn while the groom is still with them? When the groom is gone, that's when they'll mourn. That's when they'll weep. That's when they'll fast. He says, what about old wineskins and new wineskins? Old wineskins, they've been used. You don't put new wine in old wineskins. That leather had been used. That leather had been aged. That leather had been cracked. It was not useful for new wine because the new wine, when it expanded, would break that leather. But new leather, soft, pliable leather, when you put the wine in and as it expands, then that leather expands with it. Jesus says, this is different from what you see. Here's what I wish for you to see. Jesus brings a new kind of need. There's just no way around it. Jesus is not content with the worn out Judaism. His new ministry could not fit into the old forms, the old traditions, the old ways of doing things. Judaism believed that there were all these different laws and all these different regulations and all these different rules that had to be followed. And Jesus was not going there because that was not of the kingdom. The traditions were good. They were okay, but they were not what saved you. Jesus was bringing a new kind of day with a new ministry. Someone has said Jesus did not mean to condemn the old forms, but merely said that they had their time. The same is true with us looking at the history and where the church has been and where the church has come, where local churches have been. Too many people want to attack the traditions, the things that we've done. But I want to tell you, they had their time, they've had their season. And each time we see a new season come and a new thing take place, and God brings that to its place. Jesus did not mean to condemn the old forms, but merely said that they had their time. He was ushering in a new season of ministry. One that was rooted in the past, but was unique. You and I can think about ways that we've done church here at Rockford in the past. Some of those things we still do, but some we've improved on and we've made better. And even now, we're doing that now. Because you see, we are in a unique time. Rockford Baptist Church is in a unique place. And so I think it would be wise for us for just a moment to bring that into focus. Let's think about the blessing box. There's a blessing box sitting out in front of the Masonic building. It's right in front of the Senior Citizen Center. That blessing box was created and made, and it's beautiful. And I thank God for the sweet couple that helped me do that. And it came at just the right time. You see, God had laid that on my heart in January for us to do. And I kept putting it off and kept thinking about other ways that we could do it, or how we could do it, or how it could happen. And when this shutdown, this crazy thing took place, that was a moment and a time that God just spoke to me and said, it's time. Do it. And so we got the box, we put it out there, and within 12 hours the thing was full. And then all of a sudden, things started missing. And then it got full again. And then I went by one day and checked it, and there were things missing. And I thought, well, you know, let me give it a day. Gave it a day, and it was full again. It's quietly going and putting things in, and it's quietly going and taking something out. It's a blessing box. And people are being blessed by it. Isn't that incredible? God is being blessed by it. What about our media platforms? It's amazing how we're reaching hundreds of people every week through our media that we would have never reached if we'd have stayed in our building. Isn't that incredible? And some will say, well, you know, those people, listen, you are special to us. And I thank God for these people that are a part of our online campus. Because it's a new day and it's a new opportunity, and these are new people, and God is desiring to help messy people get a miracle. And I'm thankful that God is doing that through our media ministry. You say, how do you know that? I'll tell you why. At the first of this year, I started talking to you about connections and conversations. making connection and having conversation. That is what discipleship is all about. And it's amazing how each week I have conversations and make connection with new people. Every week I'm getting a private message or a text message or a phone call. And I'm having the opportunity to talk with people who need to know about Jesus and need to know about what it means to live in union with Him and how He can give them hope in a hopeless world and how He can help them through their struggle or their problem, or how I can pray with them and see God work. God is doing a new thing, my friend. It is a new day, and I'm thankful for it. Because you see, as a church, we're to exalt Christ. We're to praise Him in all that we do. Everything that we do, we're to praise Him. We're to experience community. As we do that, we're to connect with people with an intent to disciple them in the message of Jesus Christ, in the hope that Jesus Christ has. And we're to embrace a call. Because all of us are called. Every one of us are called to serve God. Every one of us are called to find our place and to submit to God and to submit to the church leadership and to go. The Bible says go and make disciples. It doesn't say sit and make disciples. It doesn't say stay in the rock building and make disciples. It says go and make disciples of all the nations. Friends, I want to tell you, Jesus is bringing a new kind of new. And there is nothing more exciting than being a part of His work. Come join us. Let's be a part of the work that God has for us. Because you see, as we learn from experiencing God, and as we learn from Henry Blackaby, God is always at work around you. What we're to do is we're to find out where He's at work, join Him, and be involved in what God has called us to do. Let's get involved. Let's do that. Let's do what God is calling us to do and have the experience of a new day with new people and a new ministry. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to share in these brief moments. Now, Father, I pray that Your blessings would rest on us. And that, Father, Your challenge would bury deep within our hearts. And that, Father, we would make the decision to be a part of Your call to reach people, different people, new people, and to be a part of a ministry that goes beyond just our small little area. We love You. We thank You for Your love, and we thank You for the opportunity to be a part of what You're doing. May You be glorified. May You be praised. And Lord, if there's one that's listening today that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray that today they would know that Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost. That if they'll admit that they're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, they will be saved. May they reach out to someone and say, I've made that decision. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your love and thank You for this day. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Let me remind you that we're giving. Thank you. Let me remind you that we're giving.